This is Jay Sekulow, breaking news. A new Inspector General's report. What's missing? Text messages between Strzok and Page.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, well, here it is on a Friday. This is an interesting one. So we got was issued very late last night, which is sometimes these things happen. This is the way it is. This is the Office of Inspector General. It's a report on the investigation, recovery of text messages from certain FBI mobile devices. Now, this is a comprehensive report that was issued last night. It was the Department of Justice Office of Inspector General did this report. It was to determine liability or culpability on the, quote, technical glitch of a missing text messages, or a series of missing text messages between the famous FBI, former FBI agents, Peter Strzok and attorney Lisa Page. And it revealed that the government phones issued by the special counsel's office to Strzok and Page had been wiped completely clean after Strzok was fired from the Russia probe. I mean, I just think about that for a moment. They get fired. We know we got these text messages on there, right? Those have been public, a series of them. Obviously not all of them. And the phones go in, they get swiped and cleaned, and out they go to be used by other people. Now, you could say it's coincidence. The FBI Office of Inspector General doesn't think it's coincidence. He thinks there's a fundamental gap in the way in which this information is handled. But this is obviously a major development.
Yes, because this is the time period that Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were working for the special counsel's office, early June 2017 until they were let go by Bob Mueller in late July 2017. Why were they let go by Bob Mueller? Because of their text messages. And yet that time period, so their text messages while they were working for the special counsel's team and Bob Mueller have disappeared. Have been wiped clean from history. So when the IG went looking for the iPhones that were separately issued to Strzok and Page by the Mueller team, investigators were told that, quote, Strzok's iPhone had been reset to factory settings and was reconfigured for a new user to whom the device was issued. They could not even find Lisa Page's phone. And ultimately, in September of 2018, more than a year later, they found Lisa Page's iPhone, turned it over to the IG. But like Strzok's phone, it had been reset to factory settings on July 31st, 2017. Interesting to note here that the records officer at the special counsel's office never even got to review Lisa Page's phone.
Let me actually read that. So this is what it says in the Inspector General's thought. The Office of Inspector General forensics review of the phone determined that it did not contain any data related to Page's use of the device. SCO, that special counsel's office records officer, stated she did not receive the phone following Page's departure from the special counsel's office, and therefore she did not review Page's iPhone for records that would possibly need to be retained prior to the phone having been reset. Andy?
Well, obviously, there is something wrong here, something amiss, and something, in my view, that's intentional. I mean, these are the texters-in-chief, Page and Strzok. The texts that we have from them reveal their bias toward the president and their animus toward the election of Donald Trump as president of the United States. And don't tell me that these texts that were wiped did not contain evidence of further animus and bias, Jay, because I know they did.
Well, I'm holding in my hand two lawsuits that were filed by the American Center for Law and Justice under the Freedom of Information Act request, one under the Department of Justice, actually both to DOJ. And that's how we initially got information about these text messages. But here's what's so fascinating about this, and I think this is a fundamental issue here. They're missing the information never to be recovered again, and the FBI, the department, unlike the FBI, the Department of Justice, does not have automated systems to retain text messages. Jordan, go figure. I mean, this is how absurd this whole situation is.
Not only this, the records officer who was able to review Peter Strzok's phone from the Mueller team is now reporting that she did not recall whether there were any text messages. So she didn't even look for text messages when she did have Strzok's phone. That's the Mueller records officer. And then the phone gets wiped clean. And then Page's phone, the records officer, never even got, and it got wiped clean. And they find it a year later.
Fundamental flaw? No question. This is the nature of the scope in this investigation. Fundamentally flawed from the outset.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
I want your reaction to this bombshell report coming out of the Office of Inspector General that the phones that Strzok and Page used were swiped clean before they left the Office of Special Counsel's office. But having said that, let me just read you from the report. Now, I'm holding in my hand, for those of you that don't know, this is the Office of Inspector General, United States Department of Justice. The report is the report of investigation, recovery of text messages from certain FBI mobile devices. So this was issued last night. So that's why it's just making news now. We're taking your calls as well at 800-684-3110. But let me read from this report. This is very important for you to understand the context here. In view of the content of many of the text messages between Strzok and Page, remember those were the insurance policy text messages, among others, the Office of Inspector General also asked the Special Counsel's Office to provide the OIG the DOJ-issued iPhones that had been assigned to Strzok and Page during their respective assignments to the Special Counsel's Office. Strzok and Page had each returned their DOJ-issued phones 6 months earlier when their assignment to SCO had ended. The Office of Inspector General was told that DOJ-issued phones previously assigned to Strzok had been reissued to another FBI agent following Strzok's departure from the SCO. That's the Special Counsel's Office. The SCO obtained the iPhone from that individual and provided it to the OIG. Cyber, that's the cyber division inside the Department of Justice, obtained a forensic extraction of the iPhone previously assigned to Strzok. However, this iPhone had been reset to its factory settings and was reconfigured for the new user to whom the device was issued. It did not contain data related to Strzok's use of the phones. SCO's records officer told the Office of Inspector General that as part of the office records retention procedure, the officer reviewed Strzok's DOJ-issued iPhone after he returned to the SCO and determined it contained no substantive text messages, which are now those no substantive text messages, Andy, of course, are gone.
Well, who makes that judgment? Some records officer makes a determination that there's nothing substantive? What does that mean? Some judgment call?
On an ongoing investigation.
You're not. That's not your job to make the determination whether it's substantive or not. That's what special counsel is appointed to
and
do.
Let me make it clear. That same records officer has said, in quotes, does not, quote, did not recall whether there were any text messages on Strzok's phone. So she may not have even reviewed text messages on Strzok's phone. She may have been looking at other data like emails and messages that way. But she's admitting that she doesn't even recall any text messages at all on Strzok's phone or reviewing any of those text messages. These were two people. I think the text message angle is so important because Strzok and Page lost their positions with the special counsel's office because of their texting. Peter Strzok was fired from the FBI because of his texting, and Lisa Page quit the DOJ and the FBI because of her texting. And the key period now, when they were working for Bob Mueller, any texts they would have sent to each other are gone forever, we are told by the Inspector General.
Now, so remember this also. This was the lawsuit that we filed against the Department of Justice at the American Center for Law and Justice. And the FBI told the ACLJ, and they told the federal court, that it had produced all documents responsive to our request, which was zero. However, the FBI's determination ended up, as you recall, proving untrue. Why is that? Because while the FBI said they didn't have documents, the DOJ started producing documents that included documents from the FBI. So you understand what's going on here. And that's why they're slow rolling all of this information out, Andy.
Yeah, they're slow rolling it out because they have ineptly handled it. But I don't believe for a minute, Jay, that there was stuff on these phones that were wiped that was not critical and important to this investigation. Remember, these two people, Strzok and Page, did nothing but text one another. Now, you're going to tell me that for the period of time that they were there and these phones were wiped, that there's not substantive and important information regarding this investigation that they texted each other?
Well, let me give you another one. You think that's bad enough? Here you go. How about this? Special counsel's office was unable to locate the iPhone previously assigned to Page, which had been returned to DOJ's Justice Management Division. Subsequently, in early September 2018, the Justice Management Division informed the Office of Inspector General that it had located the iPhone that had been assigned to Page. The OIG took custody of the device. Page's iPhone had been reset to the factory settings on July 31st, 2017. That's when they left, by the way.
Right.
Immediately. But had not been reissued to a new user. The office, so then it says, the OIG forensic review of the phone determined that it did not contain any data related to Page's use of the device. Any data related to Page's use of the device. SEO records officer stated she did not receive the phone following Page's departure from the SEO. So the phone wasn't even returned to the records officer. And therefore, she did not review Page's iPhone for records that would possibly be needed to be retained prior to the phone having been reset.
Neither Mueller's office, these are the top investigators in the country, right, nor the Judicial Management Division of the DOJ, Office of the Chief Information Officer, have records reflecting who even handled Page's device or who reset it after Page turned in her iPhone on July 14th, 2017. So these are supposed to be the top investigators, and they don't even have records of who handled the device. So there's a big gap there as well.
A big gap is this is beyond the pale of...
I mean, it's an investigation involving the President of the United States.
I have said from the outset,
as usual,
the irregularities in this investigation from the outset have been incredible. And now you look at this and say to yourself, okay, this was the highest profile investigation going on in the country. And the emails on these agents that were doing the investigation and the lawyer assigned to the investigation, their data is missing, Andy, and you are a former U.S. attorney.
Yes, and if I was the U.S. attorney and I had been, as Bob Mueller had been, is in charge of this investigation, I would not only be embarrassed, I would be tendering my resignation, to tell you the truth, because I would not feel myself competent to run an investigation when the phones of these two people, Page and Strzok, have been wiped clean without any of that data being preserved. Come on.
You would imagine that any phones issued by Bob Mueller's team, the special counsel's team, to anyone who has worked on that team, even if they departed or were removed, should be kept.
As you would potential, think.
Because we're talking about, as you said, the highest profile investigation in history, certainly in modern times, involves the President of the United States. They get the written responses from the president, and yet they don't even keep their own data for later on in use in potential court filings.
While there's an ongoing investigation about the whole Strzok Page matter to begin with.
I mean, so law firms would be in trouble for this.
Yeah, sure.
But not the government, of course.
All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call. 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go right to Jerry in Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
Are these two different sets of phones the last time that they were all of a sudden they were gone, and then they within a day or two they found them again? And the
within
other
a day
is,
or two
meant,
they found them? No.
Yeah, so, yes, there are two sets of phones here. So you're talking about when they were not yet with the Office of Special Counsel. That's the June-July period where their phones have been wiped clean. Those phones were wiped clean. They were given to them by Bob Mueller's team. So Mueller hands them new phones. Those phones get wiped clean completely. Page's, no one even reviews at all. Strzok's, they say they didn't review the text messages on it. And, of course, that text messages are what Strzok and Page get in trouble over. Strzok gets fired. Page quits because of this. But back in 2016, the same thing happened again. The DOJ Inspector General was unable to uncover, was ultimately able to uncover thousands of missing text messages written by Strzok and Page, sent by using their FBI Samsung phones from December 15, 2016
but do you remember-
to May 2017. But they were saying that there were technical problems, and the FBI was saying that they couldn't be produced, remember?
Well, the Office of Inspector General determined that the FBI does not currently have a specific policy directive mandating that the FBI collect text messages sent and received by FBI employees using their FBI-issued mobile devices. And I want to read that to you again. Okay? Sound familiar? Internal Revenue Service? Where are the emails from Lois Lerner? Can't find them. Missing. So now it's the FBI. But worse than that, it's actually noted by the Office of Inspector. Look, this isn't our investigation. This is the Office of Inspector General. Here's what they say. Let me read it to you again. The Office of Inspector General determined that the FBI does not currently have a specific policy directive mandating that the FBI collect text messages sent and received by FBI employees using their FBI-issued mobile devices. That is what the Office of Inspector General found. So now these text messages are missing. The IRS, key text messages, emails, missing at the time in question. So it seems to be a multi-government agency problem, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the incompetence that I see.
But this is the highest profile investigation in the country.
And not only that, Jay, the FBI presents itself and represents itself as being the premier investigative agency in the world. And when I was U.S. attorney, I thought that was the case. But that was many years ago. But that's not what I see today. I see a fumbling, jumbling mess of a situation in which you can have two people who did nothing but text one another these terrible things with respect to the president leave, and their phones are wiped clean, and nobody knows. And someone says, well, I looked, I don't know if I looked at it or not, but if I did, there was nothing substantive in there. Who are you to make that judgment, James Comey, making the determination that there was no crime committed by Hillary Clinton? What is happening in the government, Jay?
Well, Page to Strzok. This is the email. Don't forget this one. This is the text message. Trump's never going to become president, right? It says he, actually, right? It says the actual word is he. It doesn't say Trump, but that's the reference. Response, no, no, he's not. We'll stop it. That was found. It's these other ones. It happens to be during the time period. All the time periods where things are missing. Yep. Of all the time period, it happens to be the time period when they work for the Office of Special Counsel.
The most key.
The most critical.
Yeah. And the Special Counsel's office wasn't...
So when I say this is a irregular investigation, I want somebody to challenge that. All right, 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget also to support the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah, folks, again, we're involved in all of these issues through FOIAs, through the federal courts. At the forefront of this one as it continues to develop. Donate to the ACLJ today online at aclj.org. Be part of our matching challenge. Your donation will be doubled. A $20 donation, that's what you're charged. We have a donor ready to match that, so it will become a $40 donation to the ACLJ. Donate today at aclj.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So it's important to reflect here for a moment what we're talking about. So the Office of Inspector General has issued a report based on the Strzok Page email, the missing mobile devices and mobile devices that were swiped clean. So Strzok and Page were, Page was a lawyer assigned to the special counsel's office, and Strzok was the lead investigator. Now, they both get fired ultimately, or quit. One gets fired, one quits, after they this whole text message
after
controversy came out.
From the special counsel's
after
team.
Bob Mueller removes them from the special counsel's office. They're there for 2 months, June of 2017 to
July of 2017. So yeah. All of June, all of July.
So 2 months. They're there for 2 months. What's missing? The text messages from those periods. Why? They handed their phones in. Nobody took down the data. They can't recall. And they reset it to the factory settings, wiping everything out. Now, there was an ongoing Office of Inspector General investigation on this whole situation going on. That's number one. And number two, think about this for a moment. The highest profile inquiry in the United States right now involving this, you know, Russia collusion, the special counsel's office. And what's missing to the lead investigator and the lawyer for the lead investigator, FBI employees, what's missing? Their text messages.
And by the way, it wouldn't have just been, it's not just missing text messages between Strzok and Page that have become kind of the news. This would have been any text messages they sent using their special counsel phones. They got the
report understands the phones issued by the special counsel.
So those could have been text messages sent to other members of the special counsel's team that needed to be preserved. Could have been text messages sent to Bob Mueller himself and other high profile attorneys and investigators and FBI agents who are working on the special counsel's team. So don't just get focused on the Strzok Page side of this, text messages that go back and forth that ultimately got them him fired because of his bias and hurt she quit. But remember that this is all of their text messages while they work for the special counsel to anyone. So including members of the FBI, DOJ, inside the special counsel's office, employees as well. You have to wonder, is there embarrassing info there that the special counsel's team didn't want out?
Well, let's go ahead and take a call on line five, because I think this is a critical call.
Yep, Helen's calling in from New York on line five. Helen, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, thanks, Jay.
Yep.
My question is, like, as soon as they found out about these text messages, why didn't they confiscate the phones then?
I mean, you're asking the question.
And put them in a safe.
And put them in a safe. I mean, and download the information immediately. Right. Instead, one phone, they said they can't even recall if it was reviewed.
They don't even know how it got, who had it. It was Lisa Page's, and then a year later, it turns up totally wiped.
Yeah.
They have no idea who got it.
And they have no idea who wiped it, because that's, again, in the special counsel's report, the Office of Inspector General point, the OIG forensic review of the phone determined that it did not contain any data related to Page's use of the device. The SEO records officer stated she did not receive the phone following Page's departure. So, Helen, you asked the $64 million question. Why in the world, Andy, would you not?
You would. You would take the phone, you would confiscate it, you would lock it up in a safe place, and you would preserve it so that somebody who knew what they were doing could review it and determine what was on it. That's just simple procedure, and I can't imagine that was not done
it
in this case.
It involves so many other – it doesn't just involve the president's part of this case, but like, think about this Mike Flynn information that's coming to light today.
Go ahead.
I mean, so Jim Comey admits that – he used Peter Strzok in an unusual fashion, by the way. Strzok, one of the two agents who personally interviewed National Security Advisor Michael Flynn at the White House, is at the center of another allegation of possible misconduct. So Strzok in the news back again, because former FBI Director James Comey admitted in one of these forums he's doing for his book that the decision to send Strzok to interview Flynn without going through the White House counsel's office broke protocol. Now the judge preparing to sentence Flynn is asking the special counsel's team for all this information about whether or not he was even guilty of the crime that he pled guilty to.
But there's even something else. Andrew McCabe, the number two at the FBI, called General Flynn and said, you don't need to get your lawyers involved.
That's
right. We'll get this done quickly.
And it's being admitted by the former FBI director.
And they said that we were able to get into this department, into the White House, because it was right in the beginning and things weren't set up.
So
normally we would have to go through the White House counsel and follow a protocol. They didn't do it.
So they took
and they're bragging about it.
So they lulled General Flynn into a false sense of security that these are my friends, and they're going to take care of me, and we're going to have a friendly conversation and try to find out about facts. Meanwhile, they deprived him of his right to have a lawyer present while he was the target of an investigation and an inquiry.
What was it Harry Truman said? You want a friend in Washington, get a dog?
Yeah, you sure don't go to the FBI.
Yeah, I mean, but well, look what the FBI did to Clinton on that situation. That's going to be, I guess, fought out in court now. But this all goes to the abnormality in all of this and the irregularity in all of this. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
I think that term used by Jim Comey, that they broke protocol, that is the theme of this entire investigation, starting out at the FBI with Peter Strzok and then moving to the special counsel. The entire time is the breaking of protocol, the breaking of the normal processes you use to conduct an investigation like this, of any kind of investigation, but especially one this high profile, this important to the country. They ignored. They broke protocol. That, I think, it puts into question the entire investigation. It once again, here we are in December of 2018, almost on a new year, and they've, again, new information comes out that puts doubt on the special counsel's investigation and the way this investigation began at the FBI.
All right, let's go ahead and take another call before the break. By the way, we're here for another 30 minutes, as you know. Facebook, Periscope, United, share this with your friends and stay involved. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you ought to simply go over to ACLJ.org or Facebook and Periscope. Let's take another call. Our phone lines, by the way, are open, 1-800-684-3110.
Ann's calling in from Michigan Online, too. Ann, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hi, Ann.
Thank you, guys. Just to say this, right, they are bragging about breaking protocol. What I want to know is what can be done, what can we do to get a solution to all this? Can we, it's redeemable, can we fix it?
Well, here's what the FBI said in their response. The FBI has been aware of and acknowledged previously the fact that although a majority of text messages are captured on its system, there continue to be challenges in the collection and retention of text messages sent and received on FBI mobile devices. The FBI continues to take steps to mitigate those challenges. While the FBI is refining and improving its collection and retention approach, there are multiple technological costs and human factors that must be considered and addressed. You know what? That sounds like the FBI saying, oh, we know we got a problem. We can't seem to fix it. It's the Federal Bureau of Investigation, for goodness sake. And it's the agent and the lawyer in charge of, or senior people, within the special counsel office's investigation. And it just happens to be the two critical months that are involved here, the 2 months they were there.
Yeah, that's just FBI double talk. I mean, I've heard that through the years, but that's just double speak, Jay. That's saying that we don't know how this happened. We don't know what we can do, but we're going to try in the future to rectify the situation. The fact is that two phones have been wiped clean by two of the most critical persons involved in the investigation, and we will never know what was on those phones.
We have an interesting question that came in. Hey, those of you on the phone, hang on there. We'll get you in the next half hour. This is coming in from Ada on Facebook. Does Congress have a role in this investigation? Yes, oversight, and this needs to now be part of that oversight.
Yeah, that's right. And though the Democrats are taking over the House, Senate remains in Republican hands, and I think that the Senate Intelligence Committee has got a lot of information to figure out, and that we're still waiting for a bigger OIG report, too, that's supposed to be coming out about all these investigations under Jim Comey and what was happening at the FBI under him. This is just a small snippet involving data collection. I mean, here it is, report of investigation, recovery of text messages from certain FBI mobile devices. Of course, you wouldn't get from that title that it's the special counsel's team's devices, Peter Strzok's devices, Lisa Page's devices, and about 10% of the other devices at the FBI that aren't retaining data.
James Comey's at the 92nd Street Y in New York, famous venue for speeches and debates, and is saying, oh yeah, normally we would have gone through the White House counsel's office. We didn't hear. We just went to him directly, and McCabe told him he didn't need a lawyer.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't have gotten away with it.
Can you imagine?
In previous administrations.
Well, you know.
Because they were seizing on
the... Why would the FBI not just do the right thing? Period.
Because like Strzok, they wanted to take down Trump.
Yeah, there you go. Take your calls when we come back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so the Office of Inspector General last night issued a report involving the Strzok Page text messages, and it's called the Report of Investigation, Recovery of Text Messages from Certain FBI Mobile Devices. I'm holding my hand for a radio audience. I'm holding my hand the actual report for our TV audience as you see it right here. Now, interesting in the report, in view of the content of many text messages between Strzok and Page, I'm reading this from the report, the Office of Inspector General also asked the Special Counsel's Office, they worked for Bob Mueller for these 2 months, to provide the Office of Inspector General the DOJ-issued iPhones that had been assigned to Strzok and Page during their respective assignments to SCO. Now, there was a problem. Strzok and Page had each returned their DOJ-issued phones 6 months earlier when their assignment to the SCO had ended. So this was because the investigations afterwards. The Office of Inspector General was told that DOJ-issued iPhones previously assigned to Strzok had been reissued to another FBI agent following Strzok's departure from the Special Counsel's Office. The SCO did obtain the iPhone from that individual and provided it to the Office of Inspector General. Cyber obtained a forensic extraction of the iPhone previously assigned to Strzok. However, this iPhone had been reset to factory settings and was reconfigured for the new user to whom the device was issued. It did not contain data related to Strzok's use of the device. The SCO's records officer told the Office of Inspector General that as part of the office's records retention procedure, the officer reviewed Strzok's DOJ-issued iPhone after he returned it to the SCO and determined it contained no substantive text messages. This is what some officer said. They determined it didn't have anything. That doesn't justify the fact that it's gone, but it gets better. Then the OIG finally finds Lisa Page's phone because the SCO was unable to locate Lisa Page's phone previously assigned to her, which had been returned to DOJ's Justice Management Division. Subsequently, in early September 2018, that division informed the OIG that it had located the iPhone that had been assigned to Page. I'm reading it right out of the report, folks. The Office of Inspector General took custody of the device. Page's iPhones had been reset to factory settings. Sound familiar? On July 31st, 2017, what was the day she left the SCO? I want to find that out. But had not received and not been reissued to a new user. Then it says, the OIG forensic review of the phone determined that it did not contain any data related to Page's use of the device. SCO records officer stated she did not receive. So on this one, she did not receive the phone following Page's departure from the SCO, and therefore she did not review Page's iPhone for records that would possibly needed to be retained prior to having the phone reset. There it is.
Yeah.
So she didn't even get that one, which is the normal protocol.
And no one knows who had it for a year.
No.
I mean, it was just for a year somewhere inside the department somewhere, and someone decided to reset all of that and clear all of the data.
What's your thought on this, Andy?
Well, I mean, it is at best ineptness on the part of the federal government investigating the president and now the president of the United States. But at most, it is willful and intentional corruption, because you can't tell me that this just happened just negligently, Jay. I don't believe that anymore. I just do not believe that anymore. These two people, key players in this investigation, Strzok and Page, their phones are wiped clean, reconfigured to factory specifications, okay? And we don't know what's on these phones from the texters in chief. I don't believe that was just
an
accident.
Page's iPhone had been reset to factory settings on July 31st, 2017. It's reported that she left, is that correct, or returned the phone? She returned the phone 2 weeks before that. And the person says that the records officer says she never saw the phone to review it to see if there wasn't material.
So who did Lisa Page give this phone to? I mean, that is the big question, because the records officer doesn't know. The Judicial Management Division doesn't know at DOJ. No one knows who got Page's phone and who reset it to the factory settings, clearing all the data.
It's unbelievable. I would say too cute by half, but it's much more than that.
I think
this was during the critical phase when they were there. This was the 2 months when they were with the Special Counsel's Office. It's gone. And it looks like never to be recovered. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
Support the work of the ACLJ. We're fighting hard all the way through to the end of the new year, and then we begin again. We need your financial support. Donate online at aclj.org. We have a matching challenge. You double the impact of your donation to the American Center for Law and Justice. Donate online at aclj.org today, and your gift will be doubled. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
I'm going to play this. We're playing this. I'm not even asking if you want to hear. We're going to play that song from our band as soon as it's... Stay online if you're on Facebook and Periscope. We'll play this for you at the end of the broadcast, the whole tune there, so we encourage you to do that. We're going to go right to our phones. Before we do that, Colonel Wes Smith has joined us and our Director of Policy, Professor Harry Hutchinson. Colonel Smith, you talk about the procedure, because you did this to the Pentagon, of how you handle a phone.
Yeah, the idea that Lisa Page's phone was lost for a year and that, you know, there was nothing on it when they found it. I carried a Pentagon phone for 3 years. Pentagon's a federal agency just like the FBI. When I was issued the phone, I was actually issued a couple of them over a three-year period. When you're issued the phone, you get a hand receipt. Hand receipts are all over the federal government. The person issuing the phone signed my hand receipt. I signed it, and we both got a copy. When I turned it in before I retired, when I turned in my phone, there's another hand receipt process, and it's signed by the person to whom I turned it in and by me, and we each have copies. It's not like they just threw Lisa's phone into a drawer somewhere.
Well, they're acting like they did.
I know. There's a paper trail somewhere of who she turned it into and who received it.
Yeah, well, we need to get... Well, Harry, what's your read on the situation? Then we're going to take some phone calls.
Well, first, the report suggests the possibility that the missing messages were grounded in a technical glitch. Somehow these phones were reset. Somehow these phones were missing. And it suggests the possibility of an innocent explanation. I don't believe it. I think if you look at the entire body of the evidence, it suggests one thing, that it gives rise to an inference of deliberate misconduct by someone somewhere, either at the DOJ or within the special counsel's office. And that, I think, is a problem in terms of justice.
Because I want to highlight, we get focused on the text messages between Strzok and Page that got them both in so much trouble. Strzok ultimately fired, Page quitting her job. This is all of their text messages while they're at the special counsel.
For that, those months.
That means all their text messages to other people within the special counsel's office are destroyed as well.
Right.
All their special messages to people at the DOJ and FBI destroyed. Not just messages between the two of them. Sometimes I think we just focus on those because those were salacious and got them both, one fired, one quit. But again, remember, other members of the special counsel's team were communicating with Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, likely through text message, and now that's all gone. Let's go right to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Steve called in from Missouri. Thanks for holding on, Steve. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Steve.
So, Jay, in your opinion, is any of this ever going to really be addressed by our judicial system?
Well, I don't know if it'll be addressed by the judicial system. That's the truth. I don't know because it's an internal investigation. Now, the Senate, the House isn't going to do it with the change of leadership, but the Senate can have oversight on this. And their oversight committees can get into this and make findings. But, I mean, this is just so everybody understands, we're just giving you the facts as determined by the Office of Inspector General. That's what's at play here.
Well, and with the power of the purse, I think that what the Senate could do, and I don't think Democrats in the House will be able to stop this, is with the FBI's budget always under review and the DOJ's budget under review and a new attorney general that's been nominated will be going through the confirmation process in the next year, in 2019, that part of this can be, this is not acceptable, this losing 10% of the data even that's in this report.
Well, I mean,
because the report says, not just with Strzok and Page, but that right? Literally the FBI admits that are not able to retain about 10% of the data still at this point they still cannot reliably collect text messages from approximately 10% of FBI-issued mobile devices.
But it's even worse than that. The Office of Inspector General determined that the FBI does not currently have a specific policy directive mandating that the FBI collect text messages sent and received by FBI's employees using their FBI phones. Wes?
I know. It's crazy. It really is. And what I find unbelievable also is that they say during this June-July period there were no substantive texts between these two individuals. What the IG discovered that between December and May of that same year, there were 9,311 texts on Strzok's phone and 10,700 on Lisa Page's phone during that period. But from June to July, there was nothing substantive. And oh, by the way, they have a backup system that even if you lose the device, they can still, you know, retain your text messages. But oh, conveniently, during the same 2-month period, that backup system failed. It's the quintessential, the dog ate my homework excuse.
Yeah. And when it comes to these text messages and this data retention that they don't have policy for, when the records officer for the special counsel's office was asked by the IG, as she told the IG that she did, quote, not recall whether there were any text messages on Strzok's phone. Although she made an identical log entry for an iPhone she reviewed from another employee on the special counsel's team that same day that she specifically recalled did not have text messages on it. So on Strzok's phone, she can't remember if there's any text messages. On another employee's phone,
she never got them.
On another employee's phone, no, she actually put down there were none. So she had a definitive statement on another employee's phone, but when it came to Peter Strzok, I can't remember.
Right.
I don't recall.
Right.
This is the special counsel's records officer.
Yeah.
Their only job is to recall.
Yeah, there you go.
They fail.
Andy, what do you think? What do you think the ramifications of this are?
Well, I mean, I think it undercuts the integrity of Mueller's investigation. I mean, you've got people who were making text messages that we know, as Wes said, 10,000, 9,000, and then for a period of time after they leave, they turn in their phones or they give them or abandon them or walk away from them, I mean, which is an incredible thought that there was no chain of custody of the phone. And we don't know what's on those phones in terms of text messages. How can you say that this investigation is worth anything? How can you say that the report, when it comes out, has anything that is valid in it when it took the most important evidence? A person who said on his text that this man's not going to become president, I'm going to make sure.
Lead investigator.
And you've done, and the lead investigator, and you've eliminated the text messages on his phone.
Yeah.
How can that investigation have any credibility?
Back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. Stan in Los Angeles, California on line one. Stan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Stan.
My question, guys, is why can't you subpoena the cell phone company provider and get all the text messages for Strzok and Page?
Well, the Department of Justice, if they were doing an investigation, could. And because it's hard to believe, Harry, that somebody out in the
world of whatever service they use
can't get these.
Absolutely. So one of the key questions is how much of an effort did the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Special Counsel's Office, and the IG, how hard did they work at getting these messages? It's important to keep in mind that
evidently not hard enough. Go
absolutely.
Ahead.
So we have a report suggesting missing text messages, the fact that the phones were reset to the factory setting. Who made the decision, for instance, to do that? The failure to retain custody of the text messages by the records office of the special counsel's office. This suggests that there may indeed have been a plan or a premeditated effort to cover what was going on. And Jordan is absolutely correct. What about all the messages between Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and other members of the special counsel's office? They are also missing. And those could be important leads which could undermine the credibility of the special counsel's office.
Right, those would be people who are still there. I mean, it's Lisa Page and Peter Strzok who are not there, but they were certainly in communication with people who are still on the special counsel's team. Back to the phones. Oh, we go. Christopher in Michigan on line four. Christopher, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hey, Christopher.
Hi there.
Hey.
I have a comment and a question. My comment is I feel it's obvious to even the most casual observer that there's too many mistakes, too many blunders to be anything but intentional. My question would be, is the slow roll of information from the Department of Justice and FBI going to be allowed to continue, or can the information be taken forcefully?
Well, I mean, there's no way you could take it forcefully. I mean, one thing that could be looked at is can someone do a Freedom of Information Act request to find out what happened here? The problem is you've got an Inspector General's report that says here's what's happened. The FBI does not currently have a specific policy directive mandating that the FBI collect text messages sent and received by FBI employees using the FBI phone. Now you could do that, Andy. You can put that in place real quick.
You can put that in place, and I think Chris Wray needs to sit up and take notice and put something like that into effect right away, because to not have a policy with respect to that is not a proper a function of government.
I also believe that Christopher Wray, the FBI director and the acting director of the Department of Attorney General right now, could put pressure on the OIG, even though it's an independent body. We need to see this further report on this, because we need to see the full context, like the caller's talking about. Let's put it all into context. So put out the Comey report about the Clinton investigation and the beginning of the Russia investigation, along with all these side reports that we have coming out.
And look what you just learned. I mean, just look what you learned about General Flynn's case today. Oh. I mean, or I guess the last few days, that Jim Comey's admitting that they went in, sent the agents in when normally they would go through the White House counsel's office, but they didn't do it here because they think it's a new administration. We can get them in there quickly.
We could get away with it.
And Andrew McCabe, fired Andrew McCabe, goes in and says, oh, well, you know, here's the other story. You don't need a lawyer, General Flynn. We're just going to send some agents down there to talk to you, no problem.
And one of those agents, Peter Strzok.
Yeah. Happens to be Peter Strzok. All right. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a moment. Jordan's going to tell you about the Matching Jones game.
Yeah, support the work of the ACLJ. You see all the information we're able to provide you on this radio broadcast. It's because we live this work. We do this work. We're filing the FOIAs. We're gathering the information. And this has been a long process. Donate to the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Whatever you donate today will be double. You double the impact of your donation. Our matching challenge, ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Last segment, dealing with this explosive Inspector General's report that just came out. Let's go right back to the phones. We have people have been holding a long time.
Yeah, Janice calling from Virginia online, too. Janice, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Janice.
Thank you. Hi. Thank you for everything that you do. My question is this. If the FBI has been able to get away with wiping their equipment clean and phones clean, or anything else, as well as Lois Lerner and the FBI, then how in the world can the federal government, FBI, or any other agency ever prosecute any of us in the private sector if we do the same thing?
Well, can you imagine if you walk into an IRS audit and say, where are those receipts? Oh, I can't find them on my messages or my emails. It just happens to be missing. But it was the IRS and the FBI in the cases we've been handling. And then, by the way, the OIG said they'll be submitting a separate procedural reform recommendation to the FBI relating to retention of electronic communications. The fact that you have to say that, I want to read that to you again.
Yeah.
The Office of Inspector General will be submitting procedural reform recommendations to the FBI relating to retention of electronic communications. Can you believe that that has to happen? That the Inspector General has to go to the FBI and say, here's how you improve your electronic information technology to retrieve data? To me, it seems this is so implausible, it's outrageous. It really is. I mean, there's no explanation for this, and they don't have an explanation. Saying, sorry, we can't get it done right. We know the technology.
Just because we've been exposing this, it just keeps being exposed and exposed.
But think about this, though. And where's Lisa Page's phone? Answer, I don't know.
Yep.
Did anybody review Lisa Page's phone before it was turned back in? No. What happened to Peter Strzok's phone? Well, it wiped out. It was clean. It was reset to its factory settings. Was there anything significant? No, I reviewed it. I didn't think there was anything significant. Who are you? I'm a resource officer.
And by the way, did you look at text messages? I don't recall.
I don't recall if I looked at the text messages. So I checked the data. I just didn't look at it as I checked it. Andy?
I mean, I can't believe this. It's not ineptness, Jay. It's not negligence. It's not gross negligence. It's criminal negligence not to do something like this when you have an investigation of the President of the United States by the Office of Special Counsel. I can't imagine this happening in this day and age.
Let's go to Elaine calling in from New York on line 5. Elaine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good.
My question is, the well has been so tainted by everybody. It's so high up. Why can't the President just clean house? We've got to remove them, technically, to be able to find out anything. They're not going to prosecute themselves.
Well, look, the president but despite all the media hype, the president hasn't terminated anybody in the special counsel's office. Bob Mueller's still doing his investigation. These agents, now look, I mean, Peter Strzok was fired.
Yeah, and Andrew McCabe. That's why I was going to explain that process. So the process that works for these individuals, Andrew McCabe is the best example I think we can use. Peter Strzok, another good example. The Office of Professional Responsibility at the FBI recommended to the Attorney General that Andrew McCabe be fired, and that's how he was ultimately fired. So it was the Office of Professional Responsibility because he was not truthful in interviews he had done with the FBI about leaking information to the press. So they recommended he would be fired. That's the office that recommends that internally. It's the Office of Professional Responsibility. I believe that the Department of Justice has that same office, which would also recommend firings as well. So for Peter Strzok and Andrew McCabe, they were fired through a process that
you can't just go
that is in place.
I mean, technically you can, but no one does it just that way. Let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Yeah. Let's go to Nancy in California on line 6. Nancy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi. I just have a quick comment and a question.
Yep.
It just really saddens my heart that it feels like our own country's leaders are the ones who are playing foul on us and won't fess up. You know, you've got the FISA court judges, the FBI, the CIA, the IRS, and like all the branches of the government. And that's just very sad for me. I feel like it's almost like a military person who's gone against us, you know, and become a traitor. My question for you is, what about the phones from others like Orr and Comey and Brennan and McCabe? Can we not you know, pay attention to those?
Well, look, I mean, you raise a good point. And in the scope of an investigation, Andy, that you normally would. Bruce Orr is still there. So he's probably still operating on his government phone.
That's unbelievable, yes. But he probably is. And Wes said at the end of last segment, why don't we also look at the phones of Rosenstein and Mueller? I think all of those is fair territory. An investigation needs to look at all the facts from all the people involved and not selectively do this.
But she, I mean, but Nancy raises a good point. You got Bruce Orr still there, Harry. I mean, he's still there. And he was the whole Fusion GPS. It was his wife.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm saying the irregularities in this inquiry are unbelievable when you look at it.
So the key question is whether the activities of Strzok and Page and Bruce Orr tainted the whole inquiry. So it strikes me that one of the things that we should do is we should look at the text messages of everyone who is involved, and that may be a way of retracing the information, for instance, that Strzok and Page utilized in communicating with one another.
The only problem with that is, of course, I mean, I think the idea is right, is that what the FBI, what the Office of Inspector General is saying is, it's gone. It was wiped clean.
Yeah, that's not believable. Brian in South Carolina on line 3, I think, has a good point here. Brian, welcome to JSecuo Live. Unless the FBI's got something internal where they can wipe these claims. They might, but it doesn't seem like they're very good with data. I think Brian's got a lot of good information here.
Hey, Brian.
Well, yeah, what I wanted to point out is, I'm sure you guys realize this, but what I haven't heard said out loud is that anyone that has a cell phone can reset their cell phone to the default settings.
Right.
But to forensically remove anything, forensically is the key word here, you have to intentionally hire someone or buy a program to do that.
Or know the program
That means right there that they intentionally cleaned those phones before they gave them back, which in and of itself is a crime.
Because I can reset my phone that I'm holding in my hand right now, but all the data will still be on the cloud unless I did what Brian said. I hired used a service that wiped all that cloud data clean. And by the way, data from multiple phones I have is still on the cloud, phones that have been reset and reused by other staff at the ACLJ and give it out. We know this policy. It's normal. You hit reset, but you still are able to retain data. You want to retain data usually.
Yep.
So you'd have to go a second step, not just resetting your phone, which any of us can do. You'd have to go a second step to actually, it's bleach bit, that kind of information.
Yeah, which is what Hillary Clinton used. Yeah. Let's go to Tim in California. Tim, go ahead quickly.
Yes. Thank you for the work that you do.
Yep.
It's obvious that I think that the House Democrats aren't going to do a darn thing with this investigation.
Right.
Is there anything we can do to put pressure
the United States Senate.
On them and also the Senate?
Yeah, the Senate. I mean, they got oversight capacity here, Wes. So you were in the military. There was oversight of the military.
Absolutely. They can do that. And, you know, if they're really looking for bias and malfeasance, look at all the other people on the investigation team. Have their phones. Let the IG look at those phones to see what text Strzok and Page might have sent back and forth to them.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's not just between Strzok and Page. Jordan said that at the beginning. There's other people involved. Harry, you're shaking your head.
Absolutely. So I think you need an investigation of all of the phones and all of the messages, and then you can recreate, if you will, the information that was going on between Strzok and Page, and it might indeed implicate others.
All right, well, that does it for the broadcast today. Jordan's going to tell you about our matching challenge campaign. And, folks, stay online here. We're going to play a tune for you, Fooling Yourself, perfectly appropriate for this moment we're in.
Support the work of the ACLJ. You can double the impact of your donation right now. If you donate online at aclj.org, we have a matching challenge. If you donate $40, we have a donor ready to match that $40. So you'll be charged $40. That's what you'll donate. Another donor's ready to donate $40. That'll be $80 to the ACLJ. Donate online now at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.